Before I begin the sermon, I wanted to ask a question. It's asking about a show of hands, and it would be disrespectful in church to actually have people show their hands, so I'm not going to do that. But still, want to still ask the question, how many people have ever read an encyclical letter? How many have taken the time to do that? Or if you have, how long has it been since you have? I mentioned this. And there's a reason, you know, for bringing the letters for all these particular points. It's not a shock value question in starting my sermon today, but to give you an idea here of where encyclical letters fit into all of our lives. They're not just for bishops and priests to read. If that's what you've always thought, you're wrong. If you think that they're too high-minded and you can't understand them, again, you're wrong. There are so many encyclicals that are written. I'm particularly referring to the one since Pope Pius IX, Leo XIII, St. Pius X, Benedict XV, and then Pius XI and Pius XII, the traditional encyclicals, the ones that these holy fathers have written. There is so much in the course of all of these encyclicals here for us to learn. If you wanted to grow more in the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, read Pope Pius XI's encyclical on the Sacred Heart. Pope Pius XII has also written one. Do you want to understand more about the sacred liturgy and what it means to have our offering at Mass and how to make Mass your act of worship? Read Mediator Dei. It's not high language. It's easy to follow. Do you understand about Christian unity? Read either what Pope Leo XIII has written or Pope Pius XI. Do you understand even about a Christian democracy? Read about poorly, read it in Pope Leo XIII. Yeah, okay, maybe the encyclical by St. Pius X on modernism might be a bit technical. Okay, that's only because the modernists are so sneaky in what they do, and the Pope had to use careful language to identify them for their sneaky ways. But yet, nevertheless, it's still within the framework of all of us to follow in these encyclical letters. Both to increase our Catholic intellectual knowledge, you know, knowing about the crisis that we have today in the church. And so much in people that have lost the faith in new church and all that that I've talked about before. The Holy Ghost, through these Holy Fathers, got us ready for these times. With all these teachings of these encyclicals and other teachings of the popes during these times. Every doctrine that is questioned today, every thought that can come up about points of science or devotion or whatever has been taught by the popes from Pius IX through Pius XII. They may not specifically name everything that's going on today or some of the biotechnical stuff, the errors that are going on there, but they did approach them and gave us principles there. So by reading the encyclicals, we understand the principles. And we know which things are correct and which are not, what is proper in these particular forms and so forth. Now, besides all these things for papal encyclicals, how many know that the popes have written encyclicals on the lives of certain saints? Now, again, I'm not going to take a show of hands, but if you haven't read encyclicals, you won't know that. That there's certain saints that the pope used opportunities in their lives, like for St. Francis of Assisi, for example, the 800th or 900th anniversary, whatever it was, of his death, and then he used that as an instance, an opportunity, to write about the virtues and the values of St. Francis of Assisi, and how his teachings, his value, his life, is so important in society today. There's an encyclical written on St. Alphonsus Liguori, doctor of the church. He's a doctor of moral theology and moral teaching. Pope Leo XIII, in writing on St. Alphonsus Liguori, and making him at that time a doctor of the church, tells us, and tells priests and bishops particularly, all the clergy, all those who had to deal with souls in confession, counsel, whatever, we are to follow the moral system of St. Alphonsus Liguori and what he presents. Not any old moral system, not anything we've come up with, not something we find on some internet blog. Not something that comes up and says, well, that's how the church was before. She was really strict, but now, you know, now she's kind and gentle and a mother. And so now we can follow a moral system that fits in now with modern philosophy. And speaking of that, Pope Leo XIII also wrote an encyclical on St. Thomas Aquinas. Again, not high-minded words, but he used that opportunity to explain that the system of philosophy that we use as Catholics is that of St. Thomas Aquinas, which is based on Aristotle's work. And the reason we had to insist on that because so many Catholics in their higher forms of education, even in his time, were being introduced to false philosophies in schools. How many people go to university and college? You know you must go to mandatory courses in philosophy. And they skip real quickly past Aquinas and Augustine. Real quickly, they go past that. And get to the modern stuff, which leads you to two areas. One, skepticism and confusion in heart and soul over what Catholic teaching is. And that's why so many people have gone to universities today, followed these philosophical courses, and are all messed up. And maybe don't advance in the spiritual life because they're following the wrong philosophy. This is what we're here with St. Thomas Aquinas. Even approximately, some people, I'd say, might be approved, if you will, done SCOTUS. Some Franciscans follow him. He was there around the time of St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Albert the Great. But even with him, Pope Leo XIII mentioned now, we don't follow the philosophy of Duns Scotus. It may not be of error, but it is not the system of belief, the system that we want among Catholics, especially in the Latin Rite. There's just so many, many, many others. St. Joseph, I mean, there's a lot of encyclicals that are written about saints. I'm going to talk about one today that was written about the saint for today, St. Francis de Sales. Pope Pius XI, in 1923, wrote an encyclical on the life of St. Francis de Sales. He tells us at the beginning of it that actually Pope Benedict XV wanted to do it, but he died before he could accomplish it. And so Pope Pius XI took up the pen, if you will, and saw the need and why Benedict XV wanted to write about this saint on the 300th anniversary of his death. Because there's something about the life of St. Francis de Sales that is important for Catholics to fully understand in our time. Fully understand, the Holy Father says in his encyclical. How many of you read it? I've never read that. Oh, read A Life of a Saint about St. Francis de Sales. Read these particular things. But because so many, let's put it this way, so many Catholics are so poor in their intellectual life as Catholics, they don't advance. Learned everything I need. Sermon's good enough. I read these little baby lives, the stories. I read a little paragraph from the day, and that's enough. That's not. Not society today. Not if you want to be able to preserve your faith and keep it strong and save your soul. St. Francis de Sales, a doctor of the church. And every doctor has his own specialty, if you will. Something that is singled out in the church when this particular saint was made a doctor of the church, who presents to us something we can turn to. If we have any questions, we don't find it in the writings of the councils of the church, or some of the popes may have mentioned in the magisterium there. The doctors of the church are still part of the magisterium. We hear so much today, if you talk to people, about the magisterium is only the living pope. Nah, they're completely wrong. The living pope is a part of that, but the magisterium is more than just the living example of the church. We have the magisterium at all times. Even with the death of the Pope or when the chair of Peter was not occupied, the magisterium is still alive. We have the teachings of the popes, the council of the church, those of the fathers and doctors of the church that are presented to us without error because their writings have been examined over and over and over again by the church to be found without error. So if I have a question, I can turn to one of these doctors of the church and find in their writings answers and follow those writings completely sure that if I do so, I'm following what the church wants to do and I will save my soul. Internet blogs, opinions, even of bishops or priests that come up with different things that go contrary to what the fathers of the church have written, stay away. Stay away from them. We're here to live up to the traditions and magisterium of the church, and it's all there. And the writings are there if you want to find them. The encyclical letters of the Pope are there to keep us strong. But again, so few people read them and stay away from them. Anyway, St. Francis de Sales, what do we know of his life? Pope Pius XI goes into some great details. But one of the things he wants to center on, because of the specific teaching, that which is, we recognize St. Francis de Sales for, he is known as the Doctor of Holiness. St. Thomas Aquinas, for example, doctor of dogmatic theology, and St. Augustine of philosophy, and so many things like that. St. Francis de Sales, his particular doctrine we look to him for is holiness. And if we find maybe the writings of the church, or the popes and things like that hard to understand, then we safely turn to his writings that will teach us this is what you do to become a saint. You see, and the Pope brings this out in his encyclical letter. This is why it's really important to read the encyclicals. But the Pope brings this out when speaking in the very beginning here about the life of St. Francis de Sales, the doctor of holiness. He says, he was a living example of the command of Jesus Christ. You are to be perfect. Yeah, I said command. It's not an opinion. It's not just an idea. You and I are supposed to be holy. We're commanded to. The epistle today gives us some of the commands here. It tells us that love, true charity, love of God, spilling over to love for our neighbor. Love fulfills all of those particular laws. But love also, legitimate love for ourselves and the salvation of our soul, to become holy as a child of God is supposed to be holy. That's another fulfillment of that love. We are to be holy. We are to be perfect. Jesus teaches in the Gospel of St. Matthew, 5th chapter, if you want to go find it. You are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, Father, you can't mean it. Nobody's perfect. I am sorry for you people you ever heard that in your head. Maybe it might work in some areas of what your language, although we keep striving to do our daily works and things that as best as we can and perfect ourselves there. But in the spiritual life, to convince yourself that all I need to do is go to Mass on Sunday, pray my rosary, and do the best I can regarding sin. I can always just traipse off to confession and things are fine. I'm really sorry that people have taught you that. You've listened to that voice in your head, nobody's perfect, and then allowed your whole way of life to be formed under that false spiritual philosophy. Read the teachings of St. Francis de Sales. Read the teachings of the church. Nobody's perfect doesn't enter into it. We are all supposed to strive to be holy. Day by day, work toward that end. So many people are afraid of becoming holy. They're afraid because holiness must be something that's really soft, pretty sure. Oh, the gentle thoughts of God and the Spirit and the angels that are about me. And they think that's what holiness is all about. It's stupid. That is not what holiness is about. Gentleness of thought and things like that and whatever. Some people may do that and be holy. Fine, they've gained a control over it, but they don't force themselves in there. It comes out of them naturally. And other people are disgusted by that and say, that's holy. I can't do that. So why be holy? Because I can't do that and be real. St. Francis de Sales teaches in his writings, that isn't real. If people are guided that way and the Holy Ghost leads them that way, that's one thing, because it's not forced. But all of the rest of us, there's a way toward holiness, a gentleness of spirit, a love for God like a child of God should have. That's what it means to be holy. And there are so few people who will do it. They run away from it. Is there some doubt that this, what Pope Pius XI brings up in his encyclical? This is the command of Jesus Christ. In fact, he writes it this way. He says, we cannot accept the belief that this command of Christ concerns only a select and privileged group of souls, like priests and religious, and maybe the really high, holy ones. And that all others may consider themselves pleasing to him if they've attained a lower degree of holiness. Holiness is not by degrees of lower and saying, I can just get this far and that's all. Do you want to advance in things at work or in school? Do you just say, okay, I've made it in the door, I can do this, as long as I just do this and get my paycheck, I'm fine. Most people try to improve themselves to get higher into certain things. That's just the way, the dignity of man. But how come we don't do that with holiness? We're satisfied with just this small little thing here and say, good enough. I can't do the rest. Nobody's perfect. And I convince myself to stay down there. The Pope is saying here, now. Quite the contrary is true, he says, as appears in the very generality of his words. The law of holiness embraces all men and admits of no exception. Is that an opinion? No. It's a teaching. An infallible teaching of the church that you and I are supposed to follow. We're supposed to be holy. The great number of souls of every condition in life, both young and old, who, as history informs us, have reached the zenith of Christian perfection, these saints felt in themselves the weakness of human nature and had to conquer the temptations that came up, the Holy Father's teaching us. Then he quotes from St. Augustine. St. Augustine writes this, when God commands us to be holy, or as St. Paul puts us, this is the will of God, your sanctification. St. Augustine points out this. He says, God does not ask the impossible. He does not ask the impossible. If you think it's impossible to become holy, it's because you think it is, that you're so filled up with your own selfishness, you're attached to sin, you're a worldling and all things like that. That's why you think it's impossible to become holy. God gives the grace, you just don't use it. God does not ask the impossible, St. Augustine says. But when he does order us to do something, he, by his very commands, admonishes us to do that which we are able to do and ask for him for assistance in that which we are not able to do of ourselves. In other words, we're supposed to pray. I have a commandment. I don't just run away from the commandment and say, oh, I can't fulfill it. It's impossible. Now, this is what God wants me to do. This is the level God wants me to be at. He wants me to strive together. I may not be there today, but I'm going to strive to get there day by day by day. I'm supposed to ask and pray for that help. This is why I put another quote from that encyclical of Pope Pius XI in the Sunday Bulletin for you for this week to reflect upon. In there, the Pope tells us how to achieve holiness by sanctifying our daily actions. I won't reread the whole thing because it's already there in your bulletin. Let me just go to the closing line. What the saint, he means St. Francis de Sales, means by this is that if we are not called to an extraordinary personal perfection, and some are called to be very high, some are called to that, a union with God that is going to be higher than most others. And that's what God has called them to. And those people have followed the path, the proper pathway of development of that according to the grace of God and the works of souls to get to that particular point. Understandably, not all people are called to that. There are some people who try to force themselves to that, but they haven't walked through the first steps. That's false holiness on their part. The others is true holiness. We can look at that, and maybe it's something to imitate or to admire, but necessarily I can't fully imitate it, of the great holiness and union with God. But, as the Pope says, nevertheless, we can attain holiness by sanctifying the actions of the day. We can become holy according to the actions that we do. It's taking the ordinary actions of the day and performing them extraordinarily well. Which means, to translate this out for us in the spiritual life and as a child of God, if I love God, I take the ordinary works of the day and I do them for love of Him. That's what it means. It's simple as that, to do them extraordinarily well. I love God, I'll do them well. You have a love for some person, you're going to do things around your will well to please that person. If I love God, I'm going to do my works to please Him. Which means, and you better interpret it this way, if something happens during the day that would not be pleasing to God, then you just don't do it. That's what it means to walk toward holiness, to be a child of God in everything. You are to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. This is the will of God, your sanctification. God does not ask the impossible, but He gives grace to those who ask. Take the ordinary acts of the day and do them extraordinarily well. I'm going to add one more point to this. Our Lady of Fatima came and taught us the first penance that leads us to God is daily duty. The duties we have to perform, do them well, do them for the love of God, do them to edify our neighbor for the love of God. But people who do things sloppily, students who do their studies in a sloppy manner, who give them over, and anybody who gives over to excuses and vices and bad actions and things of that particular nature, I just can't help it. Nobody's perfect. You sold yourself short. And you're just not living as a child of God can and should by His grace. Saint Francis de Sales was a model of meekness and gentleness of spirit, but also of self-discipline. When I bring up the name Saint Francis de Sales, most of the time people think, oh, he's that gentle, really humble saint. He had that saying, we catch more souls with a spoonful of honey than we do with a spoonful of vinegar. And he said that. But that leaves out all the strong works that he did against the heretics of the church. It also leaves out an understanding of himself. And the Pope brings this up in the encyclical. St. Francis de Sales was an angry man. He gave in to anger a lot as a child. And then by the grace of God, he recognized he shouldn't do that anymore. And you know what he did? He just didn't go to confession and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I've gotten angry. And I'm sorry for these and all the sins of my life. And 2 days later, go ahead and get angry again. He didn't do that. He was a man of discipline. He knew God was not pleased with this. He knew he was supposed to be a child of God. If I say I'm sorry for something, I mean it. I'm going to change my life. Whenever a person is called to be or going to be elevated by the church to the level of a saint, there is a spiritual autopsy that's done. It's sanctified autopsy. It's still a bodily thing to cut the body open or whatever. They exhume the body from the earth to see, first of all, if in some cases they found that the bodies have been uncorrupted to prove that this is, in that particular way, God is showing a miracle to show there is something toward this. This person may be a servant of God and worthy of being proclaimed a saint. In some cases, too, they will actually do an autopsy of the body, just like they do in the medical labs. And there to see, because in some saints they found that the heart was incorrupt. The rest of the body was corrupted, but the heart wasn't. And that taught them a lot about the saints in that way. When St. Francis de Sales went through his autopsy, the medical examiners found something that was really powerful and understand about the discipline of this saint and how holiness meant everything to him. He could have just given in and said, I just can't help it. The anger gets the best of me. I'll go off to confession and confess it. And then when it all builds up again, and run off to confession and say, Father, I couldn't help it. Like most people do. No. This is what St. Francis de Sales did. You know, when people get angry, many times they get a sourness. Sometimes people get ulcers just because of all their anger. And so they become great pill poppers, you know, all these anti-acids and all this kind of stuff. Or they get other drugs and stuff like that to help calm it down. When in reality, if they would just calm down the source of the problem, their anger, they wouldn't need all the medicine. Anyway, with St. Francis de Sales, no one knew how much he had to strive every day to keep his anger in check. All they saw was this gentle man, this peaceful man, the one that won over the heretics, the Calvinists and the Jansenists, the ones who run Catholics, lax Catholics back to their faith, his gentleness of spirit yet firmness in faith. They didn't see the great work that he had to do on the inside. You know, they talk about some old medicine, talk about the stuff that builds up in your stomach as like, they call it bile. B-I-L-E. They call it bile that builds up there. Medicine probably has things of it, but the same stuff. That's why you take the antacids and all that to calm that stuff, sourness going down. When they autopsied St. Francis de Sales, his bile was not just some little fluid thing there. It was a solid rock that filled up his whole intestines. This man fought against personal anger. Fought and fought and fought. Did not go with the modern pop psychology that says, just let it out. You'll get yourself sick if you don't just let it out. Maybe it's a sin, just go to confession, but you got to let it out. He didn't go for that. And they learned that about him This was a man of discipline. This was a man who was a saint. A saint like you and I are supposed to be. He wrote a book called The Introduction to the Devout Life. It's like a blueprint of how to be holy. It's a blueprint for all of us, priests, religious, young, old, that holiness is possible for everybody according to our own state in life and how to achieve it. It's a wonderful book. It's easy to understand. It's an easy read. We've had 4 copies on the shelf in the parish library for 4 years, and only one of them's been checked out once. How many people are serious about holiness? How many people just look at those books in the parish hall? How many people don't even go in there, just walk away after church and don't look at books they could use to build up their spiritual life? Go home, watch a football game, do this and that, and don't learn to love God day by day and grow in His knowledge and love. It's a wonderful book. And if you believe, if you don't think what I'm just teaching to be is opinion, most people do. Because I know that most people think that my sermons are just opinions, because 3 days from now, most people are going to forget this and practice their own way of life and forget about the idea that to be holy is a command, not a command by me, a command by God, just as serious as the 10 commandments, that we all have to fulfill it. There'll be a bunch of people who won't. That's just Father's opinion up there. Nice opinion, but because this bishop or this priest says we don't have to. I don't care. You can't go contrary to a doctor of the church. You can't go doctor contrary to what Jesus Christ Himself has taught. And still call yourself striving for holiness. The pattern for it is in that book. A beautiful pattern, lovely pattern. How to find that holiness is possible for all. Achievable by all. At whatever stage in life, whatever we are. But all it's going to take is to actually do it, to read the book. One of the saints said, what it takes to become holy is to will it, to have the will to want to accomplish that. Strength of will that will overcome self, overcome the temptations of the world, and say, I'm attracted to holiness and not to worldliness. St. Thomas Aquinas, he was accompanying his sister one day as she was about to enter the convent. He was walking with her down the road, and they were talking. They got to the place where they're supposed to turn and walk up the path that would lead them to the gates of the convent, where she was praying that she would spend the rest of her lives. He took her, turned her so she would face and looked her square in the face and said, do you want to become a saint? And she, whoa, just, and he didn't let her finish. He said, if you don't want to become a saint, I'm going to strangle you here right now. Your whole job in life is to be a saint, especially when you become a nun. And what's she supposed to say to that?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, she took it seriously and became a very holy person, living in that convent and in that religious order. But St. Thomas's point was, this is serious business. This is serious stuff. We've got to stop playing games. There's too many kids, too many teenagers, too many adults that play games. I can do this. I can follow these things and later on change. Later on, tomorrow, I can change. Later in my life, I can make a change. But right now, I got to live life for all I want. And that later, I'll change. St. Alphonsus Liguori, in his book on preparation for death, he says that's the greatest tool of the devil, of people who are weak in their faith. I can go ahead and sin right now. I can stop any time I want. Later, I'll change. But I'm not quite ready for it right now. And St. Alphonsus says, then that person is called to God at that moment, still with the idea of later, and now later has come to be, and oops, that later is not what I expected. I'm now standing before Jesus Christ, my judge, and that later is now too late. Take it seriously. Read this encyclical. Septuagesima starts next week. It's a time for us to map out a plan for a spiritual life. Spend Lent here understanding about what holiness is and striving to do it, to come out of it at the end a child for God so we can renew our baptismal promises at the Easter Vigil and live as a child of God, taking it seriously. Do this. Understand that your attitude, my attitude toward holiness, is what makes the difference in our lives in every way. God presents to us everything it takes to be holy. Like St. Augustine says, he does not command the impossible. We can sanctify the ordinary actions of the day and become saints. We want to have every action of the day done to please God. That's what we do to become saints. People who do that are holy. Please God. We will all do that every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.